Here's your fair value brief for Monday, July 27, 2026. Oil's wild ride just took a sharp turn. Brent crude plunged 9.2% overnight to $87.86, erasing last week's surge to $100 a barrel. That collapse changes everything for the Fed's rate decision this Wednesday. President Trump's pause on Iran strikes eased supply fears, sending WTI crude down 7.6% to $82.49. The immediate effect? Inflation pressure just got lighter. The 10-year Treasury yield, which had spiked to 4.71%, its highest since 2024, fell back to 4.63% overnight. But here's the catch. Bonds aren't rallying. Yields are still elevated, and the VIX, at 17.58, is down from last week, but not exactly screaming, all clear. Meanwhile, stocks are splitting into two camps. Tech is getting crushed. Intel's down another 7.9%, ARM dropped 8.1%, and the NASDAQ fell 1.15% on Friday. But defensives? They're thriving. Verizon's up 5.8%, AT&T gained 5.1%, and Schlumberger surged 11%. Why? With the 10-year yield at 4.71%, investors are rotating into sectors with steady cash flows. High-growth tech just got a lot more expensive to finance. Now, to the markets. This week's data will decide whether the Fed hits pause or hikes. Start with Australia's CPI report tomorrow. Forecasters expect 4% year-over-year inflation. If it comes in hotter, global inflation fears could flare up again. Then there's the U.S. advanced GDP reading on Thursday, forecast at 2.3%. Strong data keeps the Fed on its toes. Weak data might bring rate cut whispers back. And of course, Wednesday's Fed decision is the main event. Right now, traders are betting 70% chance of a pause, but Powell's press conference could swing that in a heartbeat. Here's the big story. Oil's $100 spike just vanished, and it's left the Fed with no good options. Brent's 9.2% drop to $87.86 wasn't just a correction. It dismantled the inflation argument that had been building for weeks. Remember, oil influences about 20% of CPI, directly or indirectly. When Brent shot up to $100, it added roughly 0.3 percentage points to annualized inflation, according to Goldman Sachs. That was enough to push the Fed's core PCE measure back above 2% and send the 10-year yield climbing from 4.4% to 4.71% in just 5 sessions. Now, that trade is unwinding fast. The 10-year yield dropped 8 basis points overnight, and Fed funds futures are pricing just a 30% chance of a hike on Wednesday, down from 50% last week. But don't mistake this for a full-blown risk-on rally. The 10-year yield is still above 4.6%, and the yield curve remains flat. Bonds aren't convinced this relief will last, and neither are currency markets. The dollar's holding steady at 101.27 on the DXY, and gold's at $4,099 an ounce. That's not a panic move. It's a hedge against the Fed's next move, whatever it turns out to be. The Fed's in a tough spot. Core PCE finally hit 2.1% in June, right on target. But now, they're staring down two unappealing choices. Pause this week and risk another inflation flare-up if oil spikes again, or raise rates into an economy that's already showing signs of slowing. Either way, the cost of borrowing isn't coming down soon. Mortgage rates, which had climbed towards 6.75%, might stabilize, but don't expect a sharp drop. And gas prices? The national average hit $3.89 last week, but even if crude stays below $90, it'll take time for relief to reach the pump. Now here's what to watch this week. Tuesday brings Australia's CPI report. If it surprises to the upside, the Aussie dollar could jump and Treasury yields might follow. Wednesday is all about the federal. No hike is fully priced in, but Powell's tone could move markets more than the decision itself. Then there's the Bank of Japan meeting the same day. Japan's the last major economy with negative rates, but with inflation above 2% and the yen at 39-year lows, even a hint of normalization could send shockwaves through global markets. Thursday's U.S. GDP report could be the decider. If it comes in strong, the Fed's pause becomes more likely. If it's weak, rate cut bets might creep back in. Now, let's talk about the bigger picture. Bonds are flashing caution, but stocks are picking winners and losers. The Nasdaq's down 4.46% this month, led by semiconductors. Intel's lost 30.5% since June, ARM's down hard, and Marvel's not far behind. Meanwhile, defensives are surging. Telecoms, utilities, and industrials are outperforming because their cash flows are stable, and their dividends look attractive when the 10-year Treasury yields 4.71%. This isn't a market meltdown, it's a recalibration. The VIX at 17.58 isn't signaling panic. It's just above its historic lows. Credit spreads are tight, liquidity is plentiful, but the cost of that liquidity is high. That's why you're seeing this rotation. High-growth tech suffers when discount rates rise, but defensives thrive because they don't need cheap money to justify their valuations. Around the world, the Middle East's fragile pause is driving volatility. Trump's halt on Iran strikes sent oil tumbling, but the Strait of Hormuz is still closed, and Houthi attacks in the Red Sea haven't stopped. 25% of global oil passes through these choke points, so any escalation could send prices skyrocketing again. In China, two big moves. First, tighter capital controls to stem yuan outflows, the USD to CNY rates at 6.754. Second, state-backed chipmaker CXMT surged in its Shanghai debut, showing Beijing serious about AI semiconductor independence. But here's the twist. Lithium prices just hit 5-month lows as idled mines restart, flooding the market. Cheaper lithium could mean lower EV prices by 2027, but it's squeezing margins for battery makers right now. Over in Europe, the ECB's meeting on Thursday is flying under the radar. No rate change is expected, but if they signal future cuts, the euro could weaken, giving US exporters a boost. And in Japan, the Bank of Japan's meeting on Wednesday is the wild card. Even a hint of ending negative rates could send the yen soaring, disrupting global bond markets. Now let's talk companies. Nvidia and OpenAI are in talks for a $250 billion financing deal to build AU.S, government-controlled AI data center. It's a massive project, but there's a catch. Commodity oversupply is becoming a problem. Lithium prices are plunging, and that's just the start. Tech's raw material demand is clashing with oversupply, squeezing margins before construction even begins. Apple briefly overtook Nvidia as the world's most valuable company last week, $4.88 trillion versus $4.86 trillion. The takeaway? Markets are rewarding Apple's disciplined $12 billion AI investment over Alphabet's $200 billion capex spree. Oilfield services are thriving despite the volatility. Schlumberger surged 11% after reporting 15% year-over-year revenue growth. Halliburton and Baker Hughes followed, up 8 and 6%, respectively. Meanwhile, semiconductors keep struggling. Intel's down 30.5% this month, ARM and Marvel are deep in the red, and Samsung and SK Hynix just unveiled a $518 to $950 billion chip fab plan. The fear? Oversupply, just as AI demand faces scrutiny. Adobe was a rare bright spot in tech, climbing 6.1% after reporting $5.31 billion in revenue, a 10% year-over-year jump. The company raised guidance, citing demand for AI-powered creative cloud tools. It's proof that AI monetization works when it's tied directly to revenue. And telecoms? They're the new bonds. Verizon and AT&T led the S&P 500 on Friday, up 5.8% and 5.1%, respectively. Investors are chasing their 4 to 5% dividend yields, which look pretty good when the 10-year Treasury's at 4.71%. From Washington, the Fed's July 29th decision is all about models versus market bets. In June, the Fed forecast just one rate cut this year, but traders are now pricing in 2 by December. That disconnect is why the 2-year yield's at 4.37%. The June FOMC minutes showed divisions over whether inflation's truly cooling. Core PCE hit 2.1% in June, right on target. But the 10-year break-even inflation rate is at 2.26%, suggesting traders see inflation creeping higher. And don't forget today's $30 billion 2-year Treasury note auction. Weak demand could push yields even higher, tightening financial conditions further. Now, let's dig into why defensives are winning. It's not about fear, it's bond math under pressure. The Fed's policy rate is at 5.25%, but the 10-year yield is at 4.71%. That means long-term borrowing costs are already at the Fed's year-end target, and that's crushing growth stocks. Credit spreads are tight. Investment-grade option-adjusted spreads are at 0.79%, and high-yield spreads are at 2.77%. Liquidity is plentiful, but its cost is high. The National Financial Conditions Index is at negative 0.55, signaling easy financial conditions, but the VIX at 17.58 shows investors aren't complacent. They're just repositioning. The result? A rotation from high beta tech to defensive industrials and telecoms. Semiconductors are under pressure because their valuations rely on low discount rates. But Schlumberger and Verizon? Their cash flows are stable, and their dividends look attractive when bonds yield 4.71%. Now, let's talk liquidity, the market's invisible hand. It's not jargon. It's about how easily you can buy or sell without moving the price. Think of it like a farmer's market. 100 apple stalls? You can buy a bushel without changing the price. One stall? Your purchase might double the cost. The same logic applies to financial markets. In deep markets, like the S&P 500, which trades $500 billion daily, a $100 million order might move the index by just 0.1%. But in thin markets, like a small-cap stock trading only $1 million a day, a $500,000 order could send the price up 10%. That's why penny stocks and crypto are so volatile. A few big players can move the entire market. Liquidity disappears when you need it most. Remember March 2020? Even Treasury bonds, the safest asset, froze. The Fed had to step in as the buyer of last resort. That's why the VIX spikes when liquidity vanishes. Investors panic because they can't sell without taking steep losses. Today's National Financial Conditions Index at negative 0.55 signals liquidity is abundant. Banks are lending, credit spreads are tight, and cash is easy to access. But the 10-year yield at 4.71% means the cost of that liquidity is high. That's why defensive stocks are winning. They don't need cheap money to thrive, while high-growth tech does. Tomorrow, keep an eye on Australia's CPI print. Forecasts call for 0.2% month-over-month and 4% year-over-year. If it comes in hotter, the Aussie dollar could jump, and the 10-year Treasury yield might climb as traders bet on persistent global inflation. And here's a question to ponder. If Australia's CPI surprises to the upside, which sector wins, tech or defensives? We'll find out tomorrow. This week's lineup. Monday, we've got RBA Governor Bullock speaking at 11:05 p.m. Eastern. A hawkish tone could lift the Australian dollar and pressure commodities. Germany's IFO Business Climate Index is also out today. Weakness there would signal slowing European growth. Tuesday, Australia's CPI report at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, the Fed's rate decision and Powell's press conference at 2 p.m. Eastern. Bonds are pricing a 70% chance of a pause, but Powell's guidance will be key. The Bank of Japan's policy decision is at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Any hint of ending negative rates could send the yen soaring. And don't forget the $30 billion two-year Treasury auction. Weak demand could push yields higher. Thursday, U.S. advanced GDP at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, forecast at 2.3%. The Bank of England's rate decision is at 7 a.m. Eastern. They're expected to hold, but a dovish tilt could weaken the pound. Core PCE, the Fed's favorite inflation gauge, is also out Thursday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. The ECB's rate decision is at 7:45 a.m. Eastern. No change expected, but guidance could move the euro. Friday, Japan's GDP report at 7:50 p.m. Eastern, forecast at 0.2% month over month. A weak print could keep the BOJ's ultra-low rates in place, pressuring the yen further. That's your brief for Monday, July 27th. Stay sharp. This week's data could swing the Fed's next move. We'll be back tomorrow.